Welcome to Tarati Mecha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Smiles, and today we'll be studying Hosea Perek Aleph. Hosea begins what we call the Trei Asar, the 12 prophets. It is not minor prophets. As Rav Schwab notes, this is from a non-Jewish source. Each of these prophets are far from minor. They're major prophets. However, they're written all together in one book. Because of the size of each Nevuah is very small, there was a fear that they may get lost. Therefore, they are coupled in one sefer called the Trei Asar. They expand over hundreds of years. Hosea, as we'll see, prophesies before the destruction of the first temple. And the end of the Trei Asar, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, lived at the time of the building of the second temple. The first verse tells us the time period Hosea lived in. Dvar Hashem asher haya l'Hosea ben Be'eri. This was the word of Hashem that was to Hosea, the son of Be'eri. Anytime a prophet's mentioned and his father's mentioned, it means his father was also a prophet. He was from the tribe of Reuven. Bimei Uziah, Yotam, Achaz, Yechizkiah, Malchei Yudah. He lived during the four major kings of Yehuda, Uziah, Yotam, Achaz, and Chizkiah HaMelech. And Uvimei Yeravam ben Yoash Melech Yisrael, the time of Yeravam ben Yoash, the king of Israel. The time of Yeravam ben Yoash was a time of prosperity for the Jews. It was the expansion of the borders. And it was prior to destruction of the first temple. And prior to the expulsion of the 10 tribes. The rabbis tell us that if you take a look at all of these kings, you will note that Hosea prophesied for over 90 years. He is a prophet both to the 10 tribes as well as to Judah. The next verse tells us, Tchilat Diber Hashem Be'Hosea. At the beginning, Hashem spoke to Hosea. The Gemara tells us that Hosea lived at the time of three other prophets, Yeshaya, Amos, and Micha. And Tchilat Diber Hashem Be'Hosea, Hosea was the first of these prophets in this time period to get prophecy. One will note that in the time of Hosea, the major sins of the Jewish people were, as we'll see today, idolatry as well as corruption among the people, where the rich were hurting the poor, and there was a tremendous amount of social corruption, which Amos and Micha also echo as well. The second verse continues, Vayomer Hashem al Hosea, and Hashem says to Hosea, Lech kach lecha eshet zunim, go and take a woman, a wife of harlotry, the yaldei zunim, and you should have children who are the children of a zona, of a harlot, ki zano tizna aretz macharei Hashem, for the land has strayed completely away from Hashem. Obviously, when we read this pasuk, we have to wonder, how is it possible for Hashem to tell a Navi? And the Neviim in those times are even beyond our comprehension. We can't even begin to even look at the Gedolim, the great leaders of our generation, who come nowhere near the Chavetz Chaim, the Gra, the Rambam, the Tanoim, right? The Neviim are the greatest of the great. They spoke to Hashem directly. How could Hashem command a Navi to take a Zona, a prostitute, and have children with her? There are three major approaches among the Mefarshim. The first, the Targum Yonasan, that this is just a medium of speech. This is how Hosea's prophecy was. It's all an allegory. It's not to be taken at all literally. This is part of the prophecy. Approach number two is the Ibn Ezra, who says, no, this all happened in a dream. Hosea was told in a prophetic dream to take her and to have children with her. Chazal seemed to say, no, it actually happened literally. And indeed, the Abarbanel, in a very fundamental piece, notes that any time the Navi says that a Navi actually did something, in our case, in the next verse, Vayelech Vayikach, he went and he took, it means it's literal. And the Yalkut Shimoni fills in the missing pieces. Tchilat Diber Hashem Be'Hosea. Hashem originally spoke to Hosea and said, Hosea, the children have sinned. To which Hosea responded, So have Yirem Bumah Acheret. switch them for another nation. You don't like them, pick another nation. So Hashem was like astounded. How could a prophet say such a thing? And he says, what should I do with this zakeh, with this person that I should teach him wisdom? I'll tell him to take a prostitute. I'll have him have children with her. Then I'll tell him to divorce her. And we'll see what he says. And indeed, that's what happened. And then Hashem says, divorce her. And Hoshea says, how can I divorce her? I have children from her. And Hashem responded, Hoshea, these children you're not even sure are your own children, and yet you can't divorce her. How can I divorce Klal Yisrael and switch them for another nation when I have acquired them as my people? Hoshea realized he made a mistake. He asked for forgiveness, and Hashem said, don't only ask yourself for forgiveness, ask forgiveness for the people, because with each child, as we'll see, was a decree against the Jewish people. Rav Wilson and Munati Techa asked the obvious question, how could it be that a prophet whose main job is to stand up and defend the people, how could he say something like, okay, get rid of them, Habi Rambam Buma Cheret, switch them for another nation? Rav Wilson responds that this was like reverse psychology. As if Hoshea said to Hashem, you see, can there be another nation like the Jewish people? Go try and switch them for another nation. Obviously, there's no one as loyal as the Jewish people. Why did Hashem want him to take a harlot? It's in order to show in a very dramatic way the message to the people. Here they're married to Hashem, and yet they are serving idols. This is the imagery that the people need to learn, that this is a betrayal to Hashem. And this was a very powerful lesson at that time. So we continue in verse 3, Vayelech Vaykach et Gomer bat Yivlaim. He went and he took this woman who was well known at that time. Her name was Gomer, the daughter of Divlaim. Vatar Vate Lo Ben. And she gets pregnant and has a son to him. And as Samavi points out, Vate Lo, indeed, this first son really came from him. It was his son. And Hashem tells him, Vayomer Hashem Elav, Krashmo Yisrael, call his name Jezreel, Yisrael, ki od ma'at, very soon, ufakadati et me Yisrael beit Yehu, vishpati ma'amachut beit Yisrael. Very soon, I'm going to requite the blood of Yisrael on the house of Yehu. Yehu, on the command of God, had killed out the dynasty of Ahab in the valley of Yisrael. However, Yehu did not follow in Hashem's ways, and therefore Hashem told him to knock out the family of Ahab only if he would follow Hashem's ways. Since he did, it was as if he spilled innocent blood, and therefore Vishpati, Hashem is going to break that kingdom of Yehu, and it will not continue. At that day I will break the bow of Israel in Emek Israel, in the valley of Israel, and the bow represents the might, the power will be broken from Yehu. Vatar Od, she gets pregnant in verse 6. Vatelebat, and she has a daughter. Here it doesn't use the word lo to him. We're not even sure whether this girl was Hoshea's. Vayomer lo krashma lo ruchama. And Hashem says, call her lo ruchama, one who is not pitied. And here the imagery of a girl is imagery of weakness. Call her lo ruchama, because this is a reference to all the rest of the kings who will be ruling over the 10 tribes. They will be weak. Hashem will not have mercy on them. Ki lo osif od arachem et beit Yisrael. Hashem will no longer have mercy on the Jewish people, on the 10 tribes. Ki naso esa lahem. That Hashem should be have forbearance on them. Rather, Hashem is going to send them into exile. However, verse 7, ve beit Yehuda arachem. Even though there's going to be a destruction of the 10 tribes, Yehuda will still be around for a while. Hashem will have mercy on them. Voshatim b'Hashem Elokeim. Hashem is going to save them themselves. V'lo Hashem, Hashem won't save them b'keshet u'b'cheret, with a bow and arrow, with a sword of a melchama, with war. B'susim u'prashim, nor with horses and chariots. This is a reference to the way Hashem destroyed Sanherib when he came after to destroy Yehuda, after he vanquished the 10 tribes and many other countries. He came to surround Yehuda, and Pesach night an angel came down and 180,000 soldiers died without any weapons at all. The Navi continues in verse 8, Vatigmol et lo ruchama, she weans lo ruchama, Vatar vatelet ben, the weaning means there's a period of time between the destruction of the 10 tribes and the destruction of Yehuda. Once again, we're not sure whether this child is his. Vayomer krashmo lo ami. This third child is supposed to be called lo ami, you are not my nation. And this is a reference to the destruction, according to many of the Mefarshim, of the tribes of Yehuda, that they are going to be sent into exile. Ki atem lo ami v'anochi lo yelachem, because you are not my people and I am not going to be with you. Their Medrash says something very beautiful on this puzzle. The Medrash says, even though lo ami, even though you are not my people, v'anochi lo yelachem, however, I will continue to be with you. No matter what happens, I am going to be continuously loving you. I will be with you, even though you are not my people. Nevertheless, I shall not be of the same mind with you. V'anochi lo ayelachem. I'm not going to be like you. In your mindset of not being connected, I'm not going to be like that. I am going to be connected. I'm always going to be with you. And this sets the stage, my friends, for what we are going to see throughout Sefer Hosea, that even at the moment Hashem punishes and says, lo ami, you are not my nation, Hashem says, I'm not of the same mind, I still love you. And the theme of Hosea, as we'll continuously see, is punishment on the one hand, and Hashem's continuous love on the other, begging the people to return, because Hashem's love is everlasting. Thank you for studying together, Lilui Nishmas, Malka Esther, Batzvi Yosef.